Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room post-game podcast. Ryan Green, Rob Mish, Alex Adianju. Three people because you need three people to talk about another just beatdown.
Rawr!
There it is.
This was ugly, ladies and gentlemen.
59-21, UNLV falls to 2-4. A game very similar to last week's loss at UNR in the sense that they gave up a ton of offense, couldn't really get stops on third down.
We called it during
Turned
the week.
Over,
we,
yeah.
we thought whatever the total was that BYU could possibly match it by itself, and it nearly did.
It almost did. It was 64. They scored 59. I mean, that total was matched going into the fourth quarter. They not only covered the spread, they more than doubled it.
Ridiculous. And I honestly thought that UNLV would actually come out and play football this week just because the way they were talking all week long about the need to bounce back and how it would be different than past years. But obviously, it's the same old stuff.
Blah, blah,
just a different
blah.
Day.
Yep.
You know, and to their credit, they did come out for a little bit. But the thing is, the thing that I've noticed with this team as it's gone on, you know, early mistakes early in the season didn't really get them. You look back at that Oregon State game. They made early mistakes, bounced back, and made it a game late. But now they're getting to the point where early mistakes are making them look more and more brittle. A very oddball interception thrown by Omar Clayton on the second possession. And from there, it was a 3-0 game at that point. From there, just snowballed and got out of control.
I mean, it was a difficult game, and we knew it would be from the start because, let's face it, this is Provo West.
Yeah.
Harvey Unga and Manasseh Tonga were practicing and stretching on the field before the game, and they were marveling at all the blue. Manasseh looked at Harvey and said, "Where's all the UNLV fans?" Well, they never showed up. It was a predominantly BYU crowd the whole time.
Probably say 60-40 BYU.
Yeah.
And I may even go to say more.
Loudness was just 80-20 BYU. Like, they were just loud and all over the place. It felt like a road game pretty much for UNLV.
And granted, their play probably warranted that kind of inattention from their local fans, but still, it's got to be tough for, you know, the Rebels in their own yard.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just piling insult onto injury. I mean, there's, you know, and they had more injuries tonight. Starfu Amano didn't play. Ronnie Paulo got hurt. Rodolin Anthony hurt his ankle. Michael Johnson was walking out with ice all over his foot. I mean, it just keeps piling up for the Rebels, and it's boiling up to we might as well talk about this first because this is what everyone wants to hear about is the Mike Sanford situation. Alex, you and I talked about it in the podcast this week. We thought this team really needed to go out and put up a fight this tonight, and I mean –
You guys did a podcast too?
How
many podcasts do you do?
Or no, this was the post-game podcast last weekend, excuse me.
Were you jealous you weren't part of our podcast, Mish?
Yes.
It was the post-game podcast last week where we talked about how they probably needed to put a fight up this week to, you know, show that this team hadn't given up. And I don't know that we really saw any signs of quitting tonight, but I don't know if you constitute – if a 38-point loss and something that lopsided really constitutes is putting up a really stiff fight.
Boy, and you got a running back in Harvey Unga who had a left hamstring that still is not 100%.
He was running away from people.
Oh, my God. He was running downhill. He loves that turf. It's tightly cropped. He said it's not even like Provo where the grass is a little long. And he said it's a fast track, and he just smiles when he's on it.
He was breaking tackles, too. He wasn't just running straight downfield.
Right.
He would break off three or four tackles and then just keep going. It was just really good to see if you're a BYU fan.
And Rob, you made a great point, you know, with the poor tackling again, you know, it was like the BYU backs were picking up yards, but it was like they were running through a maze. It would go straight, cut left, straight, cut right, left, right, and just not getting touched.
It was almost like a cartoon, defense by Acme. But Alex, you were on the field, you were up close and personal. What was it like seeing some of those high tackles, missed tackles?
It was literally football fundamentals 101. Like, UNLV was just not wrapping up. Maybe they thought they were playing two-hand touch and not actually football. Because they would touch them, they just wouldn't grab them and throw them to the ground. Like, it was just really weird. Because, I mean, these are all college football players. Beauchamp even said it earlier this week, they're going back to the basics. Basics is tackling. Tackling is basics. And they couldn't do that all game long.
And you know you've had to try to tackle Darren Sproles back in the day, all right? Let's not forget this.
I know, but I was a slim 160 and not very fast. And put me in the weight room, I'm sure I can tackle people, but it was just horrible to watch for your UNLV fan.
I've got Sproles on my fantasy team.
That's cool.
Thanks.
I touched his leg in high school.
Blair, during Unga's 52-yard touchdown run, Blair wanted to rip off his helmet and run home with it. What was that about?
He wanted a souvenir from the game, I guess. Yeah. I have no idea. Just no idea.
And it was just poor fundamentals. And, you know, Alex, it was very similar to what we saw last week. As the score got wider and wider and wider, the tackling got sloppier, sloppier, sloppier.
It was just bad. I mean, when third string J.J. DeLuigi, how do you spell it?
DeLuigi.
DeLuigi, excuse me.
I'm from Napoli.
He runs for a touchdown. He averaged 11.2 per rush. I mean, what else can you do for a UNLV fan except just be mad at this team right now?
And, you know, it's funny because last year we were, you know, last week we were kind of cracking about how they were averaging, UNR was averaging, I believe it was, 10.6 yards per play. And we're like, that almost never happens. Today, you know, taking into account, these guys probably let off the throttle a little more than UNR did.
Yeah.
8.7 yards per play. And that number was at 9.8 early in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, or through three quarters. So they let off the gas a little bit, but they were just as effective.
I got a great figure for you guys.
I'm listening.
The last 2 weeks combined,
yeah,
UNLV has allowed opponents to run for three quarters of a mile and the length of two basketball courts. Exactly.
Wow. Spot on.
To the foot. Almost inch.
Don't forget about the 15 for 18 third down conversion rate the UNLV defense is allowing right now the past two games.
And, unfortunately, BYU led the nation in third down conversion coming into today.
So they were kind of doomed.
And all they did is improve on it.
Well, this all piles up to the question, let's talk about it now before getting a little more into the details of this game. Do you anticipate seeing something go down here soon, something in the next few weeks? It's, you know, because the more we talk to the people involved in the situation, the more I think we're starting to get that feeling that Mike Sanford will probably, it almost seems like, be coaching this team the rest of the season.
That's what I think. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Talking with people who matter tonight, the mantra is, well, we want them to get bowl eligible. Let's see if they can get bowl eligible. So what is that, six games? See if they can win six games. And then they'll maybe start thinking in a serious tone. But even then, I don't see that happening. I don't see it going down. We talked to Jerry Kolowski after everybody else had talked to him tonight. He had left the stadium. I placed a call to him, and I said point blank, what did I say?
You asked him if fans were maybe overblowing the situation.
It's
a little
late.
Bit, yeah.
It is late. Is it premature for certain fans to want an immediate change? He said, in my mind, absolutely. Meaning, absolutely, it is premature. Meaning, it's not on his mind. So, you know, they're going to let this play out and see what happens, and there are not going to be any rash, quick decisions.
I mean, the thing is, people can always say they want a new coach midway through the season, but, I mean, when has that situation ever worked out in college football where you change the coach and then everything becomes happy-go-lucky time? I mean, it never works out, does it?
It works out in baseball. Look at the Colorado Rockies, but, you know, I mean,
right, for the second time in how many years for the Rockies?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, but you're right. In college football, it's a totally different beast because you've got kids that – You know, if you change coaches, say this week, you might have half the team thinking about, well, where am I going to be next year? You know, and maybe the mind gets taken off of football because, let's look at it. You know, my opinion was at 2-3, if this team wanted any chance of 6-6, with BYU and Utah coming up, they had to win one of those two because there are some winnable games left. New Mexico, probably the only team in the Mountain West worse than UNLV right now. That's the honest truth. San Diego State, not very good, and you get them at home. Colorado State, showing that they're kind of shaky, you get them at home. They need one big win. They're not. Let's be real. They're not going to win at TCU. They're probably not going to win at Air Force. Next week probably becomes the game
season
that I think they got to win. And, you know, if you're 2-5 after that, it's. I mean, I don't even know how much more people can be panicking, but, you know, I mean, let's be real. It's not completely done yet, but it's really darn close.
The writing's on the wall, but they're writing with erasable pen. So you can erase it.
It's a dry erase board.
That is correct. It's late, like Mish said.
The eraser board is good.
Well, I think changes need to happen on the defensive side. I don't know what needs to happen.
If something's got to be done.
Dennis Thorell needs to go bye-bye or get downgraded. But 122 points the last two games. Over 1,300 yards given up the last two games. That's saying something. I mean, numbers are numbers, but these numbers are pretty much the truth right now.
Yeah,
it is not good to be on the UNLV defense.
And, you know, a lot of injuries are piling up, and you're starting to hear the same old things as they had last year. But, you know, this team doesn't really have room for excuses right now. There really aren't any.
You know, we got to go back to a fundamental thing about this team that you pointed out. We've seen it for not just this season, last season, but to have a full sound program, you can't have starters on your kickoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's showing that you have some holes that you need to fill. And, I mean, that's putting those guys – you talk about the injuries piling up. That's making those guys very susceptible to injury. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they should be able to play their positions and not have to help out on such a union. You know, that's how other teams like, what is it, Texas Tech that has the 12th man, or A&M.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those should not be – those are specialists, you know. It should be guys you count on in every down situation.
Because, yeah, you got Ryan Wolf, who's now, after tonight, the second leading pass catcher in Mountain West history, covering kicks. You know, I think back to when I was a student at Kansas. I remember Mark Mangino's first year. Banks Floodman was their best defensive player. Redshirt freshman from Wichita, stud linebacker. Ever. They had very high hopes. Very first game of Mangino's coaching career, tears his ACL on kick coverage. Out for the year. Came back, had four very good seasons for Mangino. And down the road a few years later, when KU started to have some success, Mangino was talking about how when you're starting out with a program, you have to play some of those guys on kick coverage because you really can't afford to have mistakes there, and you have to have your best guys out there. But now you're talking about Sanford in his fifth year in this program. Rodelyn Anthony about got killed against Hawaii on kick coverage. I mean, had a concussion that kept him out 2 weeks. Kyle Watkins tonight, your starting tight end, bust his ankle up on kick coverage. I mean, this is dangerous. And I do think you're right. I think it's a sign that, I mean, if you don't have guys who can be specialists on there, you definitely have some depth issues.
And granted, they're not up to the full scholarship number yet. So,
but they're close.
They are close, but they're not. So that means that, well, that's a trickle-down domino effect that's going to affect other positions. You're going to have starters on the kickoff, and it's just indicative of the program as a whole. And, you know, we're not blaming anybody. It's the way it is, and, you know, they've got miles to go.
I agree.
It's late. Well, let's go around one thing that's going to stick with you from what you saw tonight. I'll start it off. I thought it was amazing. You know, I thought the sign that BYU is a team that's for real is that they did not give UNLV any breathing room. I compared it to almost a UFC fight where they had, you know, they got them down on the ground and they wouldn't let him up until they had him in submission, because UNLV scores a touchdown on a kick return. Minute 47 later, BYU scores. UNLV scores a touchdown on a 75-yard pass. Minute 42 later, they score. UNLV scores its third touchdown. BYU takes the ensuing kickoff back 97 yards to the two, scores one play later. They never let UNLV really have something to hang its hat on, and I thought that was huge. I think that was a very big testament to how good and sound this BYU team is.
My thoughts on extension of that, Harvey Unga, I love saying his name.
Unga.
He said that BYU likes to score early. They like to pour it on, and they like to have you react to them rather than the reverse. I didn't bring up Florida State to him. However, he said that against certain teams, and he didn't really say a wink, but he said against certain teams with maybe certain records who maybe aren't that good early in the season, you want to kick them when they're down. So that was the main MO against UNLV today, and he also said that I asked him about UNLV. I asked him if he sensed that. Was that a team on the ropes, a program on the ropes? And he goes, you know, coaches get in this. They know what they're getting into in this game, you know. Maybe it takes a while for a program to turn a program around, but the football field, especially a fast one like Sam Boyd, is no place for sympathies.
I remember talking to Coach Sanford in the preseason. He talked about how they needed to have balance on the offensive side of the ball to be effective. And once again, they only ran the ball 19 times for 45 yards. Mm-hmm. They ran it barely 25 times last week against Reno. And you can't be one side like this and expect to win ball games. I mean, 45 yards on the ground is not good, but you got to have more than 19 rushes. It seems like every time you look, they're in five wide passing the ball. And if you don't have balance, defenses can play towards the pass. They had three interceptions, just not balance on offense. And if you run the ball, that takes time off the clock, leads your defense off the field, and you're just not seeing
offense.
Yeah, you're just not seeing it from UNLV this year, and that's the one thing that we talked about this on the Vegas Sports Scene on Thursday about how the need for balance. And once again, UNLV did not try to run the ball all game.
You did see it for the third quarter against Hawaii.
The 9 minute drive.
It was a thing of beauty. They kept Hawaii's high fired offense on the sideline. What did they have? 3-4 plays that whole quarter, and maybe one or two of them worked at the very end of that quarter. I mean, it was really a thing of beauty, and that's how you want to, how you want to work against these high powered offenses are playing. And even then, it worked to perfection, and that was a 1 point loss or 1 point victory. Win. So. That's the margin you're talking about, even when you're running it to perfection.
If you know you have a bad defense and you do not want to put them on the field, the most logical thing to do would be to run the ball as many times as possible.
Yep.
You have Channing Trotter. You have C.J.
It's not like the run game was failing tonight.
No.
They were finding some cracks.
And for them not to run, I just found – I mean, Trotter was 5 carries for 14 yards, C.J. 2 for 3.
And, let's point out that Trotter in their first 4 games – had 295 yards and was averaging 5 yards a carry. Their last 2 games, 8 carries, 16 yards.
Wow.
Just not getting used.
Just ridiculous.
And I know they're not trying to save him up for the stretch run. Right? I talked to Todd Berry, the offensive coordinator this week, and I asked him about that, and he said, we were honestly taking what they were giving us. We had our backup quarterback in the game. They were stacking the box, and they were challenging us to throw. He said if we would have given Trotter 10 more carries, he might have gotten 10 more yards. Tonight, I didn't see BYU stacking the box against them, and they just kind of abandoned it, and you wonder if maybe they were panicking a little bit.
Yep.
A lot of questions are going to remain after this one. It's going to be an interesting week yet again.
It doesn't get any easier for the Rebels.
Utah coming to town next week. We're going to be back this week in the Rebel Room to talk about that one. We've got plenty coming up this week. Stories, all that stuff. Alex, 702.tv, the Vegas Sports Scene.
10:30, Thursdays, Vegas TV. If you watch it, you DVR it, you watch it again, you go online, you watch it 702.tv/VSS, you watch it again. You go on your iTunes, you watch it again, then you go on YouTube and you watch it again.
And do it again.
And do it again.
And basketball starts this week.
Oh, boy.
And I think BYU just scored again. Anyway, that will do it for us. For Alex Adianju, Rob Mish, this is Ryan Green. We will talk to you this week back here